Harper Audio presents Daddy's Girl by Lisa Scottolini, performed by Barbara Rosenblatt. Copyright 2007 by Lisa Scottolini. Production copyright 2007 by HarperCollins Publishers. Chapter 1. Nat Greco felt like an A cup in a double D bra. She couldn't understand why her tiny class was held in such a huge lecture hall, unless it was a cruel joke of the registrar's. The sun burned through the windows like a failure spotlight, illuminating 200 empty seats. This class filled only 9 of them, and last week, the flu and job interviews had left Nat with one very uncomfortable male student. The history of justice wasn't only a bad course, it was a bad date. Justice and the law, she pressed on, are themes that run through William Shakespeare's plays because they were central to his life. When he was growing up, his father, John, held a number of legal positions, serving as a chamberlain, bailiff, and chief alderman. As she spoke, the law students typed on their black laptops, but she suspected they were checking their email, instant messaging their friends, or cruising the internet. The classrooms at Penn Law were wireless, but not all technology was progress. Teachers didn't stand a chance against sex.com. When the playwright turned 13, his father fell on hard times. He sold his wife's property and began lending money. He was hauled into court twice for being usurious or charging too much interest. Shakespeare poured his empathy for moneylenders into Shylock in The Merchant of Venice. It's one of his most complex characters, and the play gives us a historical perspective on justice. Nat stepped away from the lectern to draw the students' attention, but no luck. They were all in their third year, and 3Ls had 1 foot out the door. Still, as much as she loved teaching, she was beginning to think she wasn't very good at it. Could she really suck at her passion? Women's magazines never admitted this as a possibility. Let's turn to the scene in which Antonio asks Shylock to lend him money, she continued. They agree that if Antonio can't pay it back, the penalty is a pound of his flesh. By the way, future lawyers, is that a valid contract under modern law? Only one student raised her hand, and, as usual, it was Melanie Anderson, whose suburban coif and high-waisted mom jeans stood out in this clutch of scruffy 20-somethings. Anderson was a 40-year-old who had decided to become a lawyer after a career as a pediatric oncology nurse. She loved this class, but only because it was better than watching babies die. Yes, Ms. Anderson, contract or no? Nat smiled at her in gratitude. All teachers needed a pet, even lousy teachers. Especially lousy teachers. No, it's not a contract. Good girl. Woman. Why not? There's offer and acceptance, and the money supports the bargain. The contract would be against public policy. Anderson spoke with quiet authority, and her French manicured fingertips rested on an open copy of the play, its sentences striped like a highlighter rainbow. Antonio essentially consents to being murdered, but murder is a crime. Contracts that are illegal are not enforceable. Right. Anybody agree or disagree with Miss Anderson? Nobody stopped typing emoticons to answer, and Nat began second-guessing herself, wondering if the assignment had been too literary for these students. Their undergraduate majors were finance, accounting, and political science. Evidently, humans had lost interest in the humanities. Let's ask some different questions. She switched tacks. Isn't the hate that drives Shylock the result of the discrimination he suffered? Do you see the difference between law and justice in the play? Doesn't the law lead to injustice, first in permitting enforcement of the contract, then in bringing Shylock to his knees? Can there be true justice in a world without equality? She paused for an answer that didn't come. Okay, everyone, stop typing right now and look at me. The students lifted their heads, their vision coming slowly into focus as their brains left cyberspace.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?